Psalm 75, When God Keeps the Calendar. Psalm 75 feels like God's answer to the ache of Psalm 74. There the sanctuary lay in ruins, and the people cried, "Where are your signs now?" Here, before the rubble is removed, the song begins, "We give thanks, for your name is near." New International Version. That phrase is deeper than it first appears. In the Old Testament, God's name is not a label. It is his manifested presence, his covenant nearness. Israel could lose buildings, land, even visible signs of order, but not the Lord's power to be near. For believers, this is a needed correction. We often think God is near when structures are strong, ministries are fruitful, and culture is favourable. Psalm 75 says otherwise, the nearness of God is not proved by the health of our institutions, but by the faithfulness of his name. Then comes the divine interruption. At the time I have planned, I will judge with equity. The Hebrew word for appointed time is mod, the same family of words used for Israel's set feasts and sacred appointments. In Psalm 74, the enemy seemed to erase the holy calendar. Here God says, in effect, you have not lost the schedule. I still keep time. History never slips off his calendar. Fast. Verse 3 is one of the psalm's most striking images. When the earth and all its people quake, it is I who hold its pillars firm. This is not primitive geology, it is moral theology in poetic form. When a society melts, truth softens, justice bends, leadership boasts, God alone keeps the world from collapsing into chaos. We speak of systems and institutions. Scripture goes deeper. Beneath every visible order stands the judge. The repeated image of the horn would have been vivid in the ancient world. Horns symbolize strength, rank, and kingly power. Surrounding nations even pictured rulers and gods with horned crowns. So when the psalm says, "Do not lift up your horn," it is condemning more than arrogance. It is the creature trying to crown itself. Augustine saw pride as the oldest sin, the soul curved upward towards self-exaltation, rather than downward in worship. Yet the psalm ends with a reversal. The horns of the wicked are cut off, but the horns of the righteous are lifted up. What pride seizes, grace must judge. What humility receives, God establishes. And then the cup, foaming, well mixed, in the Lord's hand. A Western reader may miss that mixed wine here is not weakened but prepared, rich, potent, terrible. The wicked must drink it to the dregs. This image runs through the prophets and reaches its deepest fulfillment in Christ. In Gethsemane, the righteous one looked into the cup of Psalm 75 and did not turn away. Mark 14:36. He drank judgment so that his people might receive the cup of thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians 10:16, New International Version. So this psalm is not only about empires, it is about us. Every anxious grasp for importance, every hidden superiority, every ambition dressed as service. These are small horns lifted against heaven. Blessed is the one who lets God decide the height. Suggested cross-references, Daniel 2:21, 1 Samuel 2:7-10, Luke 14:11, Mark 14:36, Revelation 14:10. Hymn suggestion, God moves in a mysterious way. Prayer. Lord of the appointed time, keep me from lifting myself up. When the world feels unstable, anchor me in your justice. Teach me to trust your timing, fear your holiness, and rest in Christ who drank the cup I deserved. Let my only boasting be in your near and faithful name. Amen.